Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 16.
Woo! We can drive!
Yay!
We probably shouldn't be allowed to.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a conversation for our mom.
Hi, as usual, I am Nat here, one of your hosts with...
Cat in a Hat.
And Pat with no hat.
Yes, but fantastic hair.
Yes.
Yes.
So... this is our first show of 2018.
Woo! Yay!
2017, comics were great. A lot of it can burn in a fire.
That was like dead awkward silence.
Great comics. Not a whole lot of other.
Did you guys hear about that Vice article where they were doing the top 10 comics of the year, and they made the comment that, there wasn't enough, so they just didn't do the top 10 comics.
I was like,
yeah, what? So fuck you, Vice. Because that was fun.
Vice, hire us. Are you kidding me?
No, I think they should just go away like 2017. if you didn't think there was any good comics in 2017.
I disagree. The end part of 2017 was actually pretty good. I'm like, look at all the comics. Oh my God. That's all of my favorite comics were.
I mean, the beginning is too.
Yeah.
Like the end of the Flintstones.
Yeah. That's true. A lot of series started. Extremity was February or March of 2017. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just kind of laughing a little bit because I didn't start technically reading comics till March. Surprise! And I have like five short bosses. Yeah.
Wow, that's a
weird
tangent, but holy crap, that's strange.
Well, okay.
Cool. Well, we can jump right into the news today, and I'm going to get rid of this clicky pen. I'm also going to click the fuck out of it. Sorry.
So I'm not allowed to have pens. Right.
Kat, do you have anything for us?
They're talking, you guys know about they're making a Sabrina the Teenage Witch, kind of like the Riverdale. Well, they finally announced who they're going to cast as Sabrina. But it's also being a Netflix show, which I'm so down for.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit before recording. I didn't realize it was a Netflix show.
Yeah, they were originally supposed to be on the CW, but they decided, no, let's put it on Netflix. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
No arguments.
Drop it in
two sections.
So it's
going to be like a really gritty Sabrina the Teenage Witch,
well,
then,
where
she's like dealing with like her friends having eating disorders.
Well,
and,
it's
like,
the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is like what it's supposed to be adapted off of.
Yeah, the comics,
and that's a relatively dark comic book. It's like part of the afterlife.
And they're putting it on Netflix. So I'm like, oh my God, it could be like adult thing. Yay!
Yeah, that could be really like magic. Really fucks people up, you know? Like,
I cannot pronounce her name, but she's on Mad Men.
Oh, Kiernan Shipka.
Yeah, she's on Mad Men. She's known as. Which is like you go from that name, and then you go for her name in Mad Men, which is Sally Draper. And I'm just like,
huh.
Yeah, I can see it. I saw, there was a picture in one of the things that I read about her, and I was like, yeah, I could totally see this, but yes.
I'm excited
for Netflix.
Right?
I'm like, yes.
I really think this weird
that.
Archisance that's going on, where like there's a bunch of Archie properties doing really weird things, is pretty cool. Like,
I'm pretty stoked for it.
Hmm. Yeah. It's a nice way to keep that brand alive for a long time.
I mean, you have Jughead the Hunger, which is awesome.
Yeah, Afterlife with Archie, which is like a yearly comic, essentially, but it's so highly regarded as being one
and
of
like
the
all
best
the TV
books.
Shows too, Riverdale.
And I've heard nothing but good about Riverdale. Riverdale is like that sleeper show that people are like, "Do you watch Riverdale?" It's terrible, right? And then you're like yes, it's fucking amazing.
So, made my girlfriend watch it. She's like, this is great. I'm like, I know. I'm just like everybody I'm seeing. You seen Riverdale? No, you should watch Riverdale. Right. And then like 10 minutes, you know, they come back and they're like, it was so good. I'm like, I know.
Enough list of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. All right, well, what do you have for us, Nat?
There is a new head of DC Films to partner with Geoff Johns. Walter Hamada got moved from New Line into Warner Brothers DC Films. He was a producer on It, the Conjuring franchise, Lights Out. Supposedly he's been helping with Aquaman already, and he's been on the set of Shazam, so it's not like...
So are those movies going to be creepy? Because all those movies you listed off were freaking creepy.
Yeah, and the Conjuring franchise is pretty much like, it's James Wan's baby, who's the director of Aquaman, so that's already a good working relationship. I think this is a... To me, this is a good sign personally, because you're talking about smaller budget films that make back their budgets, and it might be a good thing to take that approach with the superhero genre, is to sort of scale things back a bit and spend less money on effects heavy, especially third acts in superhero films. And if you have somebody like Hamada and the film experience partnering with Jeff Johns so that you get the story correct, it could be a positive change. They already talks on Wonder Woman about being a very different film for Wonder Woman 2, whatever that means, but...
Yeah.
I want to know what it means.
Well, apparently it's going to be more bell bottoms and windbreakers and less bell shaped skirts.
And, yeah, they're going to the 70s Wonder Woman. That, yeah.
Is it the 70s? So they're originally talking about the 80s. I think
it's there's nothing yet. I think the big thought is it's a singular vision, so it's not necessarily going to be so heavily tied with the continuity that's come before.
Okay. Darn, because they're so good at tying continuity. I don't care. Like,
just make a good movie. Yeah, if it feels like it fits in the world.
Well, the thing is too is DC's not really like continuity heavy. Yeah.
No, they're not like building towards a giant event.
Well, they're not like that in. I'm not too worried about it.
I'm pretty sure PJ is going to do awesome.
I'm stoked.
Because I'm calling you PJ now, Patty Jenkins.
We're that close, apparently. Yeah. No, we're not.
Better get that nomination for Best Director for the Oscars. But yeah, I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on that.
I mean, we'll
like
see.
Like I said, I'm kind of interested to see if it gets like some creepy areas in there, because I mean, the one guy...
Yeah.
He's got some, his highlights are movies that I will not watch.
Yeah, the Conjuring franchise freaks me out. I'm not sure I can get there.
Well, Lights Out is not any better. I've heard things about that, and then I won't watch it because I don't like clowns.
Nice.
Cool.
That has
changed. So, here's a bit of news that I have that I'm really excited for personally, which is Black Panther: The Album. And this is going to be a pairing album that's going to be released on February the 9th, 1 week before the Black Panther movie comes out. And it's going to be not a soundtrack album, but a work inspired by the film. So I don't know if I don't think from what I've read any of the songs will appear in the movie, but this is a bunch of is going to be a bunch of like hip hop artists and R&B singers coming together to do various artists.
The Luke Cage soundtrack, so I'm kind of interested in to see that.
Well, I'm really excited about this personally because it is going to be produced by Kendrick Lamar. Who, even if you don't know anything about rap at this point, you probably have heard that name.
As long as it's not Kanye West, I really don't care.
Yeah, it's going to be produced by Kendrick Lamar, SZA, SZA, I don't know who that is, and Top Dog. I don't really know those last two, but Kendrick Lamar! Oh! Damn!
That's Patrick's all I gotta like, say I know that guy, that's all that matters!
This is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I'll probably listen to it. I mean,
the Grammy Award winning.
Yeah.
Like platinum records. This
is gonna sound great and really bad, but I did like him on Taylor Swift's Bad Blood soundtrack, so
I did not hear that, but now I kinda want to because everything he touches is golden.
That's a good song.
Yeah. So they did actually release one single right now featuring Kendrick Lamar rapping. It's called All the Stars.
I'm not checking it on
this right definitely now. Listened to it and it's definitely really good.
What do you think about the trailer music that's been in the film so far?
That music sounds freaking awesome, and I kind of hope I get that.
Well, those are already existing tracks, so I'm wondering if those will be on this Inspired By album, or if they're going to be part of the soundtrack, or anything. I mean,
I can totally see, so the first trailer that comes out features Legend Has It by Run the Jewels, which is one of my favorite hip-hop groups as well. I would not be surprised at all if they make an appearance on the album doing something, because I know especially Killer Mike, no, LP too, both of them are just like huge comic book nerds.
So,
And then the second one, like The Revolution, will not be televised.
Yeah,
I always forget who that's by, but I don't think they'll just appear on the album, but I can see that, like, being sampled or something like that.
Oh, that's true, I guess, because those could be sampled in the songs that we're hearing, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, because the one in the preview was already, like, sort of a remix of The Revolution.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm
curious now with this announcement whether or not the film itself is all score then. Because if you're doing something like that, then there's the good possibility that you're not going to have, like, a traditional soundtrack.
It's a strong possibility. Yeah,
for the film itself, that you're doing a score instead, and then...
Well, I mean, the one shocking thing, because I thought they were going to do that with Atomic Blonde, and all I got was 80s music, and I was like, yeah, alright, so I'm kind of hoping maybe they'll have score, but they'll throw in...
Right.
Well, this is not actually even really related... Like to
well, it's not going to be the in the
production
film itself.
Of the movie.
Yeah, and that's my thought is maybe because the trailers sort of lent themselves to making it feel like there was going to be some sort of setup that music was in the film, but it could just be trailer music as well.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting if it had more of a traditional score, like a John Williams style score for the movie itself, and then. This is the supplemental material, which would replace the form of a, like, traditional soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see it being mostly score, except, of course, there's going to be, like... This is my prediction, but, you know, the big fight scene towards the end, and right when everybody's getting ready to go, that's when, like, it starts to, like, get a little, like, 808 heavy.
it'll be interesting to see.
So...
But, this is cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, so I'm really excited about that.
No, it sounds pretty awesome. I mean, I'm not a big fan of rap, but I'll probably still listen to it just to see what it is. I mean, I definitely like Kendrick Lamar and the few things I've heard him in. So
yeah. Well, at least musically, all the stars so far is, like, really, really well produced and really well put together. So even if you're not a big fan of rap, it still has... it was still very aurally pleasing.
That was a weird way of putting that.
Yes. I enjoy the word aural, and I think it's a very underrated word, so I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Gotcha.
Alright, well...
What else do you have for us, Kat?
Well, apparently Margot Robbie finally talked about the fact that when she played Harley Quinn, she actually got death threats for it.
Really?
Why?
Apparently some people didn't like her rendition of Harley Quinn.
Man.
And I bet...
It was fans? Like,
it was people
like,
who did not like her performance as Harley Quinn. I thought she was pretty... I honestly thought she was pretty good. I was sold.
I don't really... The fact that this is so prevalent, that death threats are, like, a normal thing for people in Hollywood is just horrible, so...
Like, what are you... Like, actual question to people out there? What is your life like that this is the thing that you get so riled up about is Margot Robbie's rendition of Harley Quinn?
Yeah.
Like, what, like, if this is, like, the pinnacle of your life that makes you so angry, like, what are you doing with yourself for the rest of the time?
Yeah,
I want to send death threats to people in traffic, but, like,
right?
Not, like, to watch someone on, like, a movie and then be like, nope, I'm gonna kill that person.
Well, the funny thing is she actually talked about the fact, too, that it's, like, expensive for this, too, because, like, of course she has to have a security team, and then she also has to do background checks for the ones that seem more menacing. So like $2,000 because people are crazy, man.
Yeah,
you don't know how what they're gonna do.
Yeah, that's crazy. I never thought about that.
So not only emotionally is it taxing and physically is it taxing, but it's also financially taxing.
That's crazy.
So it's just like.
Yeah, don't be shitty, people. Come on, like, really?
It's 2018. Let's stop being shitty.
Yeah. Just because you have a voice and you speak loudly doesn't mean you need to be heard. I don't get that. Whatever.
Yeah.
Don't fucking death threats, really. Come on, people.
Come on.
If you don't like a performance, you know, make it known.
You're allowed to say if somebody sucked at something. Yeah. We do it.
Points, though, like bullet points as to why is always helpful. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
have a conversation or a dialogue.
I would like to kill you for it. And then I'm going to list out the reasons because of that. A.
That's not what I meant.
I figured. But, like, seriously, I feel like there's a lot better people you could, like...
I just
there's more worthy people of sending death threats to in this day
I like your opinion of the people in traffic.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Obviously, people in traffic. I don't know. Maybe, like...
We all know that we're swearing to that behind our steering wheel.
Yeah. I don't know.
Rodrigo
Duterte is probably worthy of a couple death threats just off the top of the head.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, what else do you have for us?
I have nothing else. I got no news today.
I know. It's been kind of boring, actually.
Okay. Well, I have a bunch of news that I can kind of quickly go through here.
I've got one more, so if you want to start riling, go.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do it, and then you can end us up here. So Legion Season 2 is announced for April. No specific date on that yet, but it's
at least
April.
You have a month.
Yeah. Which is a lot sooner than I expected for a show of that caliber, honestly.
Well, because that means it's probably already recorded.
Yeah, they're probably just in the editing process, etc. I guess they recast a few of the main characters. I forget. Aubrey Plaza is no longer Farouk, Amal Farouk.
Really?
Yeah, it's... Gosh, I forget. I didn't actually write this down. I totally should have...
I'll see if I can find.
And then one of the other main characters is also recast because I guess the actor from the first season just randomly walked off set without any real explanation.
Okay.
So yeah, Legion Season 2. It should be awesome. I'm hoping it's going to be awesome. Marvel Comics is ending 7 ongoing issues.
I was wondering when this was going to come up.
Yeah, I figured it just should be mentioned. So this includes She-Hulk, Luke Cage, Generation X, Hawkeye, Iceman, Jean Grey, and to my particular sadness, the unbelievable Gwenpool.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah. I read that, I think, a couple weeks ago.
All the other ones I was reading down the list, I was like, She-Hulk, whatever, Luke Cage, cool, Hawkeye, whatever. No! Gwenpool, no!
His apartment just gets trashed all of a sudden.
Yeah. No! Maybe she'll just tear her way into other comics. That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
She'll just supplant herself in the Avengers, and that's what we'll
yeah,
see her.
Maybe. I mean, like, I don't know. For not being, like, that well-established of a character, she's been making the rounds, like...
Yeah. I've seen her in a different... In a few different, articles too, so I'm kind of surprised.
Mm-hmm. She's the bonus levels in the Lego Marvel Superheroes too.
Is she really?
Yeah,
that's
she is.
Awesome.
Like all the bonus levels are basically her. And I was like, how can you like make all this stuff and then go and whatever? Okay,
I have a weird opinion on that whole scenario. Is I do believe that Marvel needs to pare their line down, but I think maybe. Not having 3 to 4
Defenders was on
X-Men
that.
Titles.
Yeah, freaking Christ.
You know?
Oh, Jesus.
Like,
I think they're doing another one, too, if I remember. I think
two different Avengers titles.
Yeah, they don't need 2 Avengers. You don't need 3 X-Men. And, like... And,
well, aren't they,
and they said
they
were canceling
4 now because they have X-Men Red.
Don't even talk. don't say words.
You're right. Yeah.
Oh Jesus Christ! But I saw Luke Cage on there, and I was like, Luke Cage is being canceled. Does anybody care about Iron Fist?
Yeah.
Like,
you know. Well, that's the other thing too.
Like, how
I
many
think,
like honestly, as like from a retail perspective,
I don't think I've ever.
Do people buy Iron Fist?
I think there's probably 10 subscriptions for Iron Fist. The thing is, Luke Cage had 5.
Oh,
so. See, well, I mean, the other thing is, I think they were really talking about canceling Defenders too, if I remember correctly. Oh. I could be wrong. Which
doesn't make a whole lot of sense with the Netflix stuff. I don't know. There's some weird questions.
I'm just like, you don't need 4 X-Men titles. I think they're actually making another one on top of that. I can't remember what it, I think it's more.
Stop making X-Men. make Mutant Solo series. Marvel, that's what you're best at, is like
It looks like minis every, like, why not do a 5-issue run of something and a 5-issue run of something
else? That'd be awesome. There's like 100 mutants that you could do, like, you could do one arc per, like, mutant. And then that would be...
Yeah, an X-Men anthology series would be interesting. Like, where you know, it's a different creative team every 2 issues, every 5 issues, whatever. And it's like, they highlight a different character or a different smaller group of characters.
If I hear another announcement for an X-Men title this year, I think I'm going to just drop everything Marvel and just like, we're done!
There's a joke that maybe they'll kill something like X-Force and bring it back as like X-Men Grey or something.
I mean, they're going, like I said, I think, what was it, the last one, which is, you are running out of colors and I am running out of patience.
let's shake things up. X-Women. Why not?
That could be fun. Like, I would be interested in that.
Like, I don't know. That would be...
A lot of the best characters in the universe are female, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I think the most powerful ones are kind of female, too.
Jean Grey, Storm, Magic, Rogue.
Jubilee.
You got...
Throw that into Lander.
Yeah. you got a 5-person team right there. X-Women. Marvel, where's my royalties?
Where's my royalties?
Speaking of Marvel, the big man himself turned 95
December
the 28th.
I'm pretty sure that Betty White did too. We have to mention Betty White because Betty White, I'm just saying.
Stanley.
Yeah.
Stanley's 95?
Yeah, he's 95.
Apparently somebody stole money from him and bought like a condo with it.
Wow.
So he's still kicking. Yeah. Like, he does not look it at all or like act it. So.
I just, like, every time I just think of him, I just think of the Spider-Man games that I played on the PlayStation, because he voiced in that.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It was so great. I remember as a little kid.
Like him talking in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, talking with the Watchers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fan theory, he is the Watcher.
Yes, that he's actually a Watu, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. That is the fan theory. And then my last bit of, like, news, I guess, it's really just for, like, myself. The day after, which is December the 29th, Black Mirror Season 4 dropped, and that's what I've been doing with my past week, is just depressing the hell out of myself.
Yeah, I've heard that. I have to be mentally stable to walk into that, and it's been a bit of a week, so...
Yeah. So... The show, if you're not familiar with it, is basically like Digital Age Twilight Zone.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Sounds horrifying.
It is absolutely terrifying. And so it deals a lot with, it takes things that are apparent in our digital society today and sort of takes them to a logical conclusion in like... likes or recording stuff or
now we're heading too close to home, guys.
Like virtual avatars or these things that are apparent and sort of like runs with just like this idea to not even necessarily the extreme, because that's I think the most crazy thing about the show is you're watching this and you're like, that's so realistic, I'm going to kill my everything.
Yeah, I can't watch that show.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've hit too. I'm like, I need to be mentally stable to watch this. I think no one is that mentally stable.
No. It's not a binging show.
No. I know that much just from some of the stuff that I've read, and I'm like,
yeah, and another big question, even aside from, like, the digital age stuff, is the show asks, what is a human worth?
Oh, and, good. So we're getting back into Blade Runner. Yeah,
it's it kind of is.
Except there's 8 episodes, or how many per season?
First season is 3, second season is 4, and then
either way,
3 and 4 are like 6.
So there's like 14 episodes where I question my worth for it. That's 14 hours. I don't think, no.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, where you're like, wow, everyone has a price, and it's definitely not as exciting as you thought it would be.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be my little side tangent on that, and I will stop talking about that now.
Cool.
And let's get on to some happy news, Kat.
There is some happy news.
Pulled that out of my hat.
Ah. Wait, what hat? My inner child is super happy because Animaniacs is coming back.
Yeah.
Except there's a catch. It's on Hulu. I'm already upset about that.
What? Yeah, none of that makes sense.
Right? Why? It's on Hulu, then on top of that, they're talking that we won't see it till 2020.
Why does it take that long to produce Animaniacs? Okay,
so Hulu will be the Disney streaming service by 2020. It won't be Hulu.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
With,
you're right.
With the buyout, if it goes through, it's like 90% of Hulu is part of that purchase.
Okay.
And then
what is the other 10% going to be?
I don't know. That's the thing. And
that's so random.
It's a built-in infrastructure, so it makes no sense for Disney to go from the ground up. They can just integrate into that.
Exactly.
Well, Steven Spielberg's coming back to executive produce.
That was a Warner Brothers registered show.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about that. I just remember writing it down. I just like, it's on Hulu.
Oh, Hulu is great. I have Runaways on Hulu, which is fantastic. But.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm really. I love the Animaniacs.
But 2020?
Yeah.
That's so extra.
So it'll be on a different network. But that's cool. I mean, is any word on it whether or not it's going to be hand-drawn animation? Or?
I'm pretty sure. I'm hoping it is. But they're saying that. They said Pinky and the Brain's coming back. And,
what? Oh, like all of it? Like the whole. Like,
I don't know about Tiny Toons, but I do know that they mentioned Pinky and the Brain and they mentioned Yakko. Oh my god.
Yakko and Dot.
They mentioned them, and then they mentioned Pinky and the Brain, which I got excited for because I love Pinky and the Brain.
Well, yeah, I mean, he doesn't love Pinky and the Brain.
Well, I actually was thinking about this. I didn't know this news was happening, so this is pretty exciting. I was thinking about like that whole old Warner Brothers style, like the Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I love Looney Tunes.
How that's sort of dead, with the exception of like the Mickey Mouse shorts on. Which I don't even know what network that's technically on. Is it XD?
I think it ends up on like on both of them. Okay. They're just like little 5-minute shorts.
But those are fantastic, and if you can do something like that with Animaniacs, where it's like 3 5-minute shorts in an episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, 8-minute shorts.
Well, they have all of the rights to this stuff right now, too, so they have all of Animaniacs on Hulu. They have Tiny Toons as well.
I wonder how that deal shakes out. That's really weird. Oh, that was Fox Kids before it was Warner Brothers.
It was.
Interesting. Oh, that's cool. That's weird behind-the-scenes stuff. But 2D animation. Woohoo!
Yeah! Oh, yeah. Nice. I love Animaniacs. I'm excited. You're making me wait 2 years. What the hell?
Yeah, that definitely points towards it being 2D animation.
Yeah, it does. Because that does take much longer. You're right. Yeah. I didn't think about that. But still, I'm a little upset about it.
It's cool.
2 years. Yeah.
Anything else?
That's honestly it. It's kind of, I feel like, I mean, it's the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I'd say give it like the end of the month, be like, guys, did you hear what happened?
Yeah, right. It was like everybody's off. All of the news production studios are like, there's nothing happening yet.
Yeah.
No cons.
We're basically like nothing's happening in the world.
Well, then let's move on from stuff happening in 2 years to stuff happening this year.
So this is real loosey-goosey. We're just going to go over some stuff that we're excited about for 2018. I'll start us off with Mary and the Witch's Flower, which apparently is going to be out like next week.
Yeah, so. January 18th and 19th in association with Fathom Events, Studio Ponoc. Ponoc? P-O-N-O-C.
Yeah.
Is their first, or their, I think it's their debut film.
I think so too. We may be wrong in that instance.
I know the directorial pair has done 2 prior movies together.
But they were with Studio Ghibli that they did those. Like Secret World of Arrietty was a Ghibli film, and.
Was When Marnie Was There? Was that a Ghibli
production?
Ghibli
as well.
Okay.
I think. I'll look that up while we.
The new, a lot of people in the anime community are talking about this being sort of the new Ghibli, as Ghibli is, sort of winding down. Hayao Miyazaki and Isao Takahata are a little too old but they're just super slow rolling things at this point.
Their career paths have changed. I mean, Miyazaki said he was retired. He's coming back at this point.
He's retired 3 times.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
Like,
but The Wind Rises was a really good like send off.
I thought it was too. I thought it was an amazing final film.
Oh, you know what? What's today? Is today the 6th?
Yes,
today happy is the belated birthday, Hayao Miyazaki, January 5th, actually.
Oh, wow.
So,
how did I miss that one?
Yeah, I know. How did all the news, it's like we missed that one. 77.
Otenjo Bio Merito Miyazaki-san. Anyway.
I didn't know that one.
It's a happy birthday. So, it is happy birthday.
Nice. But yeah, that's really, like, I'm excited about this movie because it looks like this sort of return to the Ghibli style, which is really weird that, because the Ghibli style is really based on, what we think of as the Ghibli style, is really based on Miyazaki's artwork. And because Takahata is a bit more hard-edged, a little bit more, not traditional anime, but, or that the stylistic choices of traditional anime. And Miyazaki's very soft, you know, very, like, there's a lot of rounded forms. People are kind of ugly in Miyazaki movies. I always joke about that because
yeah.
It's more natural. Like, most people are kind of ugly. We're all kind of weird looking.
Yeah.
But that's what makes us beautiful.
Yeah.
And this looks like a freaking, like, it looks like a Miyazaki production. Mm-hmm. I saw elements of Ponyo and Kiki's Delivery Service,
yeah. A little bit of, like, Spirited Away.
A little bit of Howl's Moving Castle.
Howl's Moving Castle.
Which is the other film one of the directors was working on, or had worked on. So
yeah.
It looks great, though. It just looks really interesting and fun and bright.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and from what I've seen, at least in, like, the trailers and previews and stuff, like, not only artistically does it seem to be a... I don't want to say a continuation or, like, an homage. I feel like Miyazaki just started, like, an entirely, like, new genre of anime.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is, like, a continuation of that genre.
It's like, yeah, that passing of the baton to the next filmmakers to work on this.
Like, artistically, but, like, world-building-wise and, like, elements of, like, magical realism and especially dieselpunk are huge influences in Miyazaki movies.
Really?
Like, those two sort of, like, seemingly opposite ideas coming together.
They work really well.
Yeah, they work amazingly together.
And you know what? The world building is really, like, my key thing just in general in film. I love world building so much, so I think that's why I gravitate towards those movies. So I'm really, like, I'm looking forward to this. I'm pretty excited that it's so soon. Hopefully, somebody stuff is soon.
I don't get crap. Because, like, the first three animes that come to mind for this year that are talks of coming out is Sword Art Online, the final season of Fairy Tail, and then Attack on Titan. I have no dates for any of these. I've got, for Sword Art Online is, we've got the final season of Fairy Tail, which is, it's airing in 2018. That's my choice is 12 months.
Nice.
And then for Attack on Titan, they're saying July 2018.
Okay.
I swear to God, if it breaches out 4 years, I'm just going to tip things over.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean.
But excited still.
I am really excited. I'm really excited for Attack on Titan. I'm really curious how they're going to, because I've actually read some of the manga, but it gets confusing really quickly. But I've read some of it.
The show stayed relatively true.
The thing is the reason that it took so long, I believe, it took them 4 years to create a second season was because the guy was like, "No, you're not creating any other filler or anything like that."
Oh, okay. So he was like,
he was pretty adamant about it.
That's from good. I mean, it is.
But the thing is, they caught up to him, so they're like, "What are we? Okay, we just have
the Game of Thrones issue.
We have to.
They're not
going to
have like the classic anime like going to the like bathhouse episode or something.
It sounds
like,
really
or not bathhouse.
It sounds
but, like,
really
Hot
awful.
Springs
but
episode.
Yeah. Fairy Tail has filler, and I've actually enjoyed their filler. It's freaking ridiculous. Like one of them, they fight like the Zodiacs, except they're all the opposite of what they were, and Gray ends up in a dance battle. Like shit gets ridiculous.
Oh. Yeah, I think of filler episodes, and I always think of like the Garlic Jr. saga and. Dragon Ball Z, and then,
When you say filler, all I think
is... the beach episodes.
All I think of is Bleach. How terrible those were.
Yeah, the vampire people or whatever, were, like, really right in the middle of, like, finally getting back from...
Well, that was the thing, is, like, you had four seasons
society.
Of... You have, like, four seasons of fucking filler in that one, though.
Yeah.
They killed that show with filler. Killed it. And then Naruto as well. That one makes me think of Naruto.
Yeah.
This was a long, long series.
700 episodes, man.
Yeah. Naruto Shippuden alone was 500 episodes.
God.
Commotion in the shop today. Sorry.
my eyes bleed just thinking about it.
Well, moving on. Obviously, I'm not going to dwell on this one, but I'm super excited for Black Panther.
Hell yeah.
I totally forgot about that, too. Like, you guys are like, Black Panther, guys, I'm excited.
Oh, I've already requested off work on the day it comes out.
I'm more excited for Black Panther than I am Avengers, February 16th.
I was actually, so this was February 16th,
okay,
yes.
Okay, cool, thank you.
So this was funny, I was like, I was trying to think of stuff that, was coming out, in 2018, and I was like, Black Panther, definitely number one on my list,
I was
rewatching trailers, and all this stuff,
and then it gives you the
related videos in YouTube, one of them was the Avengers trailer, and I was like, oh yeah! Black Panther trailer 2, Black Panther trailer 3.
The international trailer for Black Panther.
The international trailer? Listening to all the stars, all the time.
See, and I try to say, like, I see the first trailer and then I walk away because I'm like, I want nothing blown. Nothing.
I got excited for Black Panther.
I tried to go in blind with Star Wars, but Thor ruined that.
That's funny. I watched the commercial for the Nerf toys and got excited.
There's
about
Nerf toys?
I got really excited. The vibranium series. So you get a vibranium claw and then like a vibranium mask, and then they have Shuri's gauntlets that are like the Panther head with a Nerf like hand that shoots out.
All I've really heard is apparently we're going to show up in Nerf gear.
I know, I'm like, is my head small enough that I can have the black? And it has removable lenses. So they like pop off and then you can put them down and they're like all cool looking. It has like the blue or purple vibranium symbols.
Come in one day and you're going to have like a mask. Like,
right? Just this,
the kid. Like half your face.
I'll raise it up here and so I can have the cat ears still, you know. No, I'm like, I'm super excited for Black Panther. This is the kind of movie, I was thinking about the subgenres that I really enjoy, and I like the sci fantasy.
I had never actually read anything about Black Panther. I don't know much about him, but that movie looks kick ass.
I'm really
And just the few things that I've seen him in, just like he was in Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just seeing him in a few different things, I'm like, can this be all the time?
Yeah.
So I said I wasn't going to dwell on this, but now we're dwelling.
Yeah,
so
I love
but
it.
Like, so the thing that, if you're not familiar with Black Panther at all, the thing that is, at least personally, I think is the most interesting is Wakanda itself.
Yeah.
Because this country is the most technologically advanced country in the Marvel universe by like, not even close, like decades, like half a century, centuries and probably. But not only is it super high sci-fi, really, it is still very traditionally African.
Yeah.
So, like, that's one of the things, especially in the trailers that we get to see, is, like, you know, Shuri is coming out with, like, these sound cannons, basically, and still has, like, tribal style, like, facial tattoos and, like, the traditional garb. And like,
these are the things that, like, you know, I'm saying, like, sci-fantasy, where it's that use of, and this would be like in quotations, magic, because you know the vibranium is part of all of their culture. So you know the Black Panther has to take in the vibranium vapors to gain power, and that's like that's a very like mystical, magical element. Yeah. But then there's like
it's
the high technology.
Like what is it in Star Wars?
The Metachlorians?
Metachlorians, yeah.
We're not going to talk about the Metachlorians. but Black Panther,
good talk, guys.
Yeah. and everything I've seen from the trailer, like, looks like it's going to be a perfect, like, I just remember reading, like, in the Black Panther solo series, the mail in the back, and one of the letters was from this guy who was just talking, like, it's amazing to see, like, this society in which people have like hair like mine, like that's not just like, you know, there's like one of the main characters and is like a professor who has like dreads like you know, down to like his legs and stuff like that.
His neck muscles must be insane.
I know, right?
That's like the only thing I can think of.
You
like,
know what's
damn.
Funny is they talk about the excitement level of this film, and I forget the cultural importance and the cultural relevance of the movie. You know, like, this is a big deal. This is a...
There's an
African American led superhero film, and it's like a primarily black cast.
You start out, you have last year, you finally have like, you know, the integration of like a woman superhero, and now you're leading it into having, you know, different ethnicity superheroes.
I saw this like short video a couple weeks ago about it was like these three guys in like the movie theater just filming, and they're like by the Black Panther poster, and like one of the guys is like hugging it, and they're like, we were looking at this and realized like, and we're just feeling all good and excited about this, and we're like, damn, this is what white people must feel like all the time. We must feel like this shit all the time. And they're like, is this what it feels like all the time?
It's amazing. Like, it's just, it's going to be...
It's seeing just, like, everyone's so excited about it. It's like Wonder Woman. Like, even guys are like, Wonder Woman!
Yeah, exactly.
So Black Panther's going to come out, and even, like, non-black people, like, right now,
are like,
Black Panther!
It's crazy. It's cool. It's a...
I wonder, like, people are going to be, like... I don't know. I think there's so much hype for it right now, because we talked about this when the Infinity Wars trailer comes out, but half of the trailer takes place in Wakanda.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
That was the one thing, too, is everybody's like... All I keep hearing about is Black Panther, Black Panther, Black Panther! And I'm like, you know, there's still Infinity Wars. Nothing. It's like silence. And we're like, I guess.
Yeah, after Black Panther comes out, people are going to be like, hey, you remember that Infinity Wars? And people are gonna be like, yeah, I guess about that. Who wants to rewatch Black Panther?
if they're smart, and it looks like they are, Black Panther is going to be... Those trailers for Infinity War make it look like he's the new head honcho, like the real lead of the Avengers going forward, which, smart on them, you know, you have...
I always thought anytime Black Panther is involved, I always, like in the Avengers stuff, it always, to me, makes sense that he's the leader.
Okay. He's like, a king. He runs a country.
I was gonna say, he's a literal king, so...
He's a king, he's a scientist, he's a warrior. Yeah. That's like every aspect of all the Avengers. He's like Captain America and Tony Stark.
I was gonna say, he kind of sounds like Black Batman a little bit.
But he's more of a public figure.
Yeah, that's true. So. He's like if Batman
were Bruce Wayne at the same time.
And also the mayor of
except the complete tangent, like Gotham would be, he'd be a shit mayor because Gotham is in shambles. His existence
is an awful mayor, man.
Yeah. Anyway, we should probably move on.
Yeah. We can talk about this all day. And we will when it comes out.
Yeah, we will, exactly.
Has anybody seen those guys? No, they're watching Black Panther for the sixth time.
I'm going to move into the actual comic realm.
Yeah!
I'm excited for the Brave and the Bold.
Yeah!
Batman and Wonder Woman. Liam Sharp keeps dropping more artwork from this, and it looks like an Irish fairy tale starring Batman and Wonder Woman. And
really?
I
think I saw stuff for it, too.
I can't even describe how exciting that is. Like, that's so cool looking. They're going to deal with, like, Celtic gods and stuff. I don't know.
What? This is just...
It sounds amazing. I love when an artist especially gets to do their creative vision. And it just looks great. I don't really know what else to say about that. I'm so excited. I loved Liam Sharp's art on Wonder Woman. I actually keep referring back to his take on the current
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
I want that.
It's just really cool.
Yeah, you have me like really interested. Ooh, wow, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, I think I saw the cover last night.
He has a bunch of covers.
I was really excited for it because it looks super, super awesome. I love Wonder Woman and how she looks in this.
Oh, she looks so great. I like that Batman is this kind of like hulking figure too, that it's not like, there's no way that Batman could be real, you know?
Yeah, right.
But it's so good. Let me see, Liam Sharp. Pulling up some images for people to peruse through.
Yeah, no, it looks
like
it looks
Batman
really cool.
On a horse wearing some sort of awesome medallion.
Oh wow! Yeah, look at that.
So, Yeah, cool. You gotta search this stuff.
Yeah, definitely. If we had a better camera, we'd be showing this.
Yeah, video. And that's our New Year's resolution for us, is to get a better camera.
I think we need to try some editing.
Yeah,
like,
get better resolution.
Because honestly, I think within our reviews, there has to be something that's put in there just for kicks, which I will explain when we get there. But.
Oh gosh, okay. But yeah, so that's...
What else do you have for us, Kat?
I mean, like he said, the Batman and Wonder Woman, like, yeah! The other one is, I'm actually curious to see how Nightwing New Order ends.
Ooh, yeah. Because
that's
going
to be the last issue.
That's true. There's a lot of good series that we're waiting to see how they end.
Yeah.
Nightwing, White Knight, Mr. Miracle.
Oh my god, Mr. Miracle.
Yeah.
Miracle.
Yeah.
That's like eye-gouging painful, man.
Mr. Miracle and his dancing penguins. Yeah, Doomsday Clock will end next December. If it's monthly, it's going to be at the end of this year. Not next December, this December.
Yeah, I'm really curious. December. Well, yeah, because we get all of Doom. So now we're getting, like, we're on issue 2, I think, Doomsday Clock. And so 3 comes next month. So yeah. I'm super interested to see.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, no, actually comes at the end of this month.
Yes, it would be. I have a feeling they gave it, because it's a 12-issue mini, and it's supposed to end in 2018, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
just the border on that.
The other thing is, too, is I'm mostly curious to see what Disney and... Oh, wow, that's pretty.
The Disney and Fox merger?
Yes, I'm very interested to see where they go with that. Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, like how much we'll get in 2018 from that.
Probably not a whole lot, but I'm really curious to hear what they're doing going back and forth with everything.
Yeah, they're probably still hashing out the details.
And on a side note, I'm also looking forward to people not being as shitty this year, so let's not be shitty people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's be nice.
Yeah, let's be nice
to each other. Everyone's New Year's resolution.
Let's be less shitty people. That's my vote.
Less shitty to each other. Do you have anything else that you're excited for?
I have two things. So Marvel's New Warriors, it will be out this year. Where it will be out is still up in the air.
Oh, do you have that 12 month area of where it might land?
Yeah, and also any network. It's going to be a Marvel and ABC production, but it's not on ABC,
I smell Hulu on this one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a streaming service.
Well, and if Runaways is a good business model, if they find that Runaways is a success in terms of viewership, this would be the perfect follow-up, something that's irreverent and different.
Yeah, I think it really will, because Runaways is pretty, like, gritty and mm-hmm. deals with a lot of, like, very serious and harsh issues, whereas New Warriors will be the first Marvel show that is expressly a comedy.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, which is great. And I think it has a great lineup for that, too. Squirrel Girl, Mr. Miracle, Night Thrash, or Mr. Immortal.
Back to Mr. Miracle.
Mr. Immortal, Night Thrasher, Speedball, Microbe, and Debril? Debril? Don't know how to pronounce that one. So yeah, it looks like a good lineup of characters, and depending on how it's produced, it can be awesome. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited for that, honestly, because Squirrel Girl! And then really the last thing I have is Westworld Season 2 coming out this year.
Yeah, that's soon too, right? Isn't it like next month?
You know, I did not actually look at a specific date. I just know it's soon. And I'm excited for it because Westworld Season 1 is awesome. Once again, not really a binging show.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It actually lent itself pretty well, Season 1, to binging.
I guess that's true, but like...
Is it another one where I have to think deeply about things?
Yes.
See, I can't do those.
it's gonna be one of those things that, like, after you watch Blade Runner 2049, it's going to be like, if you're interested in depression and questions yeah. about your humanity, you might be interested in Westworld.
Do you hate yourself a little bit some days? Do you really want to hate yourself and humanity?
people who question their humanity also watch Westworld.
Have you seen Blade Runner 2049?
Oh my god, I feel like there's a comic display happening at Griffin now based on this. If you question your place in reality,
you might also be interested in blank.
Oh, I'm so in.
That's great.
If you've ever wondered if reality is real, you might also be
interested in.
Oh, man.
Like depressing works of science fiction? Maybe you'll like. I do have one more I want to hit for 2018, and that is the second part of Batman Dark Prince Charming, because...
Oh, yeah, didn't realize they were doing a second part.
Yeah, he's working on it. He put a teary little post on Twitter. He's like, only 4 pages left. So I changed my mind, and I'm doing 6 pages instead. So we get more content. So, yeah. So thank you, Enrico Martini, because I am super excited for that. Hopefully it's out in early summer, late spring. So
nice.
So I'm doing 6 instead. That's great. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Two-page epilogue. Two-page epilogue.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that's it for, I guess, what we're excited for. We're not excited for anything else. Everything else in the year is just
terrible.
I mean, honestly,
I'm just kind of like, I'm sitting around and waiting to see what they say to me about what they want to do in 2018. Because I can't, because they're like, we have all this cool stuff coming in 2018. And then I'm like, you know, I'm not getting my hopes up because you tell me that. And they're like, oh, it's 2019. Oh, I'm just kidding. It's 2020. So it's more like, unless I see it in front of my face, I don't care about it.
I'm really excited. I'm going to say this about the new Magic set that'll be dropping in like 2 weeks, because there's more folk, more fish people.
Anyway. Great. That's what he needs. Fabulous. I love that deck. It's so great. I don't want to like dump gasoline on the table and light it on fire whenever I see it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, no. I spilled this cup of water. That's just all like water. Oh, match!
That would be so terrible. Anyway, we have a review then that we're doing as a group, eh?
Yeah. Which one are we doing as a group?
Stage left, the Snagglepuss Chronicles.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yes.
I thought we were going to save that one for our second show.
No, I thought because we were...
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. We're doing...
I can only talk about this for so long before I get a little triggered.
Oh,
so.
I can talk about this forever, so...
So, who's it? It's by Mark Russell with art by...
Mike Feehan?
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 Yeah, that's... Mark Russell is the... He was the writer of The Flintstones.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know...
That explains why this tongue-tongue like, made me hate myself a little bit.
And this is, once again, part of that whole Hanna-Barbera DC blend that exists. I don't really know.
I call it a mind-fuck, man.
my opinions of this... I was riveted to the point that, like, I just kept reading because I'm like, this is fascinating and I don't understand.
Well, it got better because no one realized this morning. No one thought about it until I played his voice.
The voice of Snagglepuss.
Yeah, we were listening to
that's why I was mentioning the whole editing thing, because I feel like within this we have to, like, just drop a video right here, that video that I had.
Oh, yes. Just
listen to him for about 30 seconds of him talking.
Put it in the descriptions, a link to it.
Yeah.
Link to this to understand why this is so great and how he cannot, there's like no way he cannot be gay.
I have a feeling that, like, for me, I felt like this was so highbrow that I wasn't getting some of the intricacy of
I will say I will say the same thing. And I'm trying to think of what that is, but I'm pretty sure that's another play on another cartoon. That play that's in there.
I'm going to let
the
Patrick...
play that's in there?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
I think
take
good...
the lead on this one.
So, Snagglepuss, Exit Stage Left, The Snagglepuss Chronicles is really about one of my favorite things in the world, or people, I guess I should say, not things, who is Tennessee Williams, the great American playwright, who is easily one of the greatest American authors of all time.
Yeah, as long as he's not corrupting the youths.
He corrupts the youth so hard. So, like, I'll get to that in a second. Tennessee Williams was a gay male who was primarily wrote in the 40s and 50s Broadway plays, such greats as Streetcar Named Desire, The Glass Menagerie, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, etc. So it opens up with a play that is not particularly any of Tennessee Williams' plays, but more like an amalgamation of his style put into plays. So if you've never read a Tennessee Williams play, they're very small set, very family oriented, very sad, And nothing happens.
What's the name of one of the characters in that play? Because I feel like that,
which one?
The one in that one.
Oh, it's there's Selma is the female, and then Shem is like the sort of alcoholic man that she's trying to get with. That kind of reminds me of a couple different plays. Even like the way that it's written, like the dialogue in it reminds me of a Tennessee Williams play. Like there's one line where he comes in and talking about being broke at the track, and he's like, "I'm a desperate man, Selma, desperate men turn hopes into wagers and dreams into lies." And stuff like that is just exactly what you would hear in a Tennessee Williams play. And then of course, like sort of being in the closet, like on the down low gay back in the 50s when it was super illegal to do this. Like,
I enjoy the fact that it's illegal to, yeah, sorry, we'll yeah, get into that in a minute.
Like Snagglepuss has like this woman who's acting to be his girlfriend or wife or whatever.
I think it's his wife.
Yeah, and Tennessee Williams did the same thing for a while until he kind of embraced it. He was basically just big enough at a certain point that he was like, yeah, I'm gay, like what are you gonna do about it?
They push it even further in this because he's with a human man as well. So yeah. it's interracial homosexual
interspecies. Who's also his partner is from Cuba during the revolution. So we also get a lot of this has to deal not only with homosexuality in the 1950s, but also communism and the Red Scare in particular.
See, that was like the one thing is like they dropped. I don't know much about Tennessee Williams, but this definitely drops you into an area of history where America was okay with stifling creativity. If they felt like you were riling up the youth, they would do whatever they could to take you out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's
and just scream communism at you, basically.
Yeah, so
it was a lot of stifling of a lot of creativity and a lot of free speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like you were talking about like subtly slipping things in there to corrupt the youth, and one of the characters, an old writer friend of Snagglepuss in the comic, is on trial for subversion and corrupting the youth. All this is in air quotes.
Yeah.
And Tennessee Williams actually did a lot of this in his plays. There's a lot of modern sort of looks at his plays that will suggest that a lot of his characters are homosexual.
Okay.
And that it's very, very subtle. Like, on surface level readings or viewings, like, you can't really tell. But it's usually, like, there's a common theme in his plays are, like, people who aren't able to sort of find a good relationship in a traditional kind of way.
Okay.
Due to these various things, and a few of the characters in his plays, people say it's because they're gay and they're trying to be with a partner of the opposite sex, and they're just absolutely not happy with that. So,
I mean, I could get that.
Yeah. Yeah, so very...
What era is it supposed to be in?
I think it actually is 1953.
So the comic itself, I don't know exactly. There is an actual historical event in here, which is the execution of the Rosenbergs,
okay,
who were tried as communist spies, even though even to this day, there's never sufficient evidence for the actual death penalty.
Okay.
Well, that's the worst part, is the ending part to that comic, too.
And so, there's this sort of subplot about this couple that are late for the show.
That freaked me out, man.
Going to this execution.
He's just, like, popping a mint like it's normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did a little bit of research about this, actually, and this was actually pretty common to...
It's 1953.
Buy tickets and go watch executions of communists. And apparently at the Rosenberg trial, there were 500 people in attendance.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Well, so, I thought it was... I was curious of the date because I thought it was going to coincide, and it pretty much does, with the formation of the Comics Code Authority. So there's a little bit of a meta story point that, like, censorship.
I forgot about that, because they started doing that because of...
corrupting the youth.
Yep.
So, so you have this the little, like, meta joke about, you know, talking about corruption and control, and the following year would be the Comics Code Authority founding. So,
yeah.
That's a wreck. Clicked to me while we were having this discussion, so.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in just this first issue alone.
Yeah, like, I mean, just looking at some of this is kind of, like, difficult to read sometimes just because it's just a realization that, like, 60-ish years ago, I would have been in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lengths that he has to go to in order to hide himself, and he can't be seen in broad daylight.
I feel like this is going to take a dark turn.
Oh, good God, if it doesn't, I'd be shocked.
Is it not already?
Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, it has the potential to go very dark, I guess.
You're like, is it going to go dark or very dark?
Yeah.
You're like, is it going to be some dark gray or is this shit going to be black? are we talking like I can't see the light of day through this?
Right.
Yeah, because I think like Flintstones, even though it was very heavy and very dark, it kept like a sort of light tone to it.
It was like much more comedic.
It was satire.
This is
almost historical fiction.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And it's funny because it's well written as opposed to being like any specific jokes in there.
Yeah, it's not. It kind of has a somewhat light tone to it still in this first issue, but yeah, I wouldn't say it's particularly funny. It's more, you get more of like the sort of smirk kind of comedy where you're like,
where you're ahead of what's happening in the story.
Yeah.
You know more than the characters within the story, which is generally, by definition, comedy.
But yeah, it's just one of those things where just, I mean, 60 years ago, just seeing some of it, it's interesting because it holds pretty true to what it was like. So.
I would definitely say this is a pickup. Like, this is one of those things where you should have a read and do a little research, you know?
Like, I would suggest it. I mean, even speaking for me, like, I don't know, like, my history very well, so it's interesting. It's hard, though, just to see some of the things that would happen just because. And, I mean, just looking at the stuff for Cuba, like, they even talked about Cuba, about how they're like, we will not, I actually really like this quote, they're like, we will not run away, we will walk like men.
And they walk as...
And they walk, they're like, it's the fastest we've ever walked, but we walked like men. Yeah. And 3 days later, the guy was dead.
Yeah.
And then,
no, we will leave this park as you ask, but we will not run, we will walk like men.
Yeah.
And then we had never walked so fast in our lives, but we walked, we did not run. 3 days later, we found Alberto's body.
And then a couple panels after that, I really loved this particular dialogue exchange, where I'm forgetting his partner's name now. Pablo. Pablo says, I knew that it was too late, that I would have to leave Cuba, and Snagglepuss replies, I understand, but this is different. This is America. And Pablo replies, that's not an argument, it's a nightlight.
Yeah.
And, like, just saying, like, this is America, you know, things are great here. Well, obviously things aren't getting great because, like, in this issue, there's a couple being executed for communist sedition, even though there's...
On display in front of people as well. Like, then, that's kind of the horrifying part.
And then there's another quote down there later, which during the execution, there's a little narration box that one of the characters says, a nation becomes that which it enjoys.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
And, oh, yeah, so just like...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to keep reading these for sure, and I think it's only supposed to be six, and I'm really interested in how they're going to fit it in six, because, damn.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, definitely pick up Snagglepuss.
Yeah.
We'll catch you guys on the review side now.
Yeah.
All right.
More reviews.
Well, yep. Bye.